Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory. Great things He hath done. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life in atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory. Great things He hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory. Great things He hath done. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let us praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory. Great things He hath done. Oh, let us praise the Lord.
Thank you, Linda. Certainly, that's what we need to do, is just praise the Lord. The singing this morning has just been tremendous. The message, the truths that we've been hearing about God, they're all true, by the way. And it's just yesterday morning, 9 o'clock yesterday morning, the choir was here for a rehearsal. And where I'm standing, there was a structure of scaffolding going all the way up to the speakers. There were ladders still all over the platform. And this room was not ready to be seen yet. And we still had practice. And I remember Saturday afternoon, after things began getting cleaned up and ready, I was just overcome with the emotion and just the thought of how good God is. To bring this all together at this point in time. This was God's time today. And so I'm certainly glad that you can be here with us this morning. If you'll take your Bibles out, please, I'd like to spend some time looking at another building dedication that we find in the Old Testament. And if you would turn to 1 Kings chapter 6, please. When David, the king of Israel, when he came to the throne, and once the kingdom was settled and all of the battles were mostly done under his government, then he turned his attention to, or from himself rather, to God. He wanted to do something special for God. God had placed him on the throne from the fields as a shepherd. God placed him on the throne with the promise that his bloodline would always be there. So David wanted to build a temple for the Lord. Up until this time, the temple for the Israelites was a tent. And David did not get to do what he wanted to, but God assured him that it would happen. Instead of David, Solomon, his son, did the building. These passages that we're going to look at here in 1 Kings, they describe the beauty of it, first of all. Look with me at 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 20. Just a short description, there's more, but here's what God has to say. And the oracle in the forepart was 20 cubits in length, 20 cubits in breadth, 20 cubits in the height thereof. And he overlaid it with pure gold, and so covered the altar, which was of cedar. So Solomon overlaid the house with pure gold, and he made a partition by the chains of gold before the oracle, and he overlaid it with gold. And the whole house he overlaid with gold until he had finished all the house. And also the whole altar that was by the oracle he overlaid with gold. Obviously, you can tell we're not done yet here in the room. We're done, okay? Solomon, he then led in the dedication of this magnificent building. Based on what Solomon prayed in his lengthy prayer, we know that the people had some expectations about this building. What would happen there, how it would or could impact them. Definitely had some expectations. Now, this temple that Solomon built, although it was around for many years, it proved to be a temporary structure. After Jesus came and ascended back into heaven, his disciples then declared that there is no building that is big enough for God. No building that is grand enough for God. Now, keep in mind, the temple that Solomon built was an immensely grand structure. Stephen himself declared in Acts chapter 7 and verse 44, "Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, the tent, and as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet." So, if the tent in the wilderness wasn't the temple, Solomon's temple wasn't the temple, where is the temple of God? We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you." Paul is instructing that the people of God form the temple of God. The church is the body of Jesus Christ, not this building. The church together, the church corporate, if you will, the community of believers. Not any one person can claim a monopoly on the Spirit of God. God inhabits His church. You, plural, not you, singular. And the whole thrust of the Old Testament and New Testament theology is of God's working in and through the body of believers. Folks, that is why you don't see in the New Testament anyone going solo. They're just going to do church on their own. That is contrary to what God teaches in His Word about the body of Christ. Now today, we meet as part of this body. And we know that God inhabits us as believers. God inhabits each one of us. But He is revealed in a greater way as He inhabits us together as a corporate, unified body. Each of us, as a temple of God, we're limited on our own. We have our limitations, don't we? Pastor Newman intimated earlier that he was sure glad Pastor Cook knew about remodeling buildings. And there's a reason for that, wasn't there? We all have our strengths. We have our weaknesses. We have the Holy Spirit, but we still have our weaknesses, don't we? And yet God has designed, when He brings the parts of the body together, they are stronger, they are more effective, and their limitations are then erased. We, as individuals, only have so much giftedness, and we only have so many talents on our own. But bring us together like this, and what we are individually is now, you might say, new and improved, expanded manyfold. Church, that word church refers to the ones that God brings together in His family. It refers to the family of God, not individual, certainly not a building. You alone are not a church of God. Some people want to be, but they are not. A church is a body. It's a collection, a number together. And we need to emphasize that word together. Can we just stop for a moment and just praise God for something here? We picked paint colors and carpet with no church split. Amen? We went through nearly an entire building project, and we're still together, and I believe stronger than when we started. God has been good, hasn't He? All are welcome to be a part of this group here, the group of believers. But folks, it doesn't happen by just joining Grace Baptist Church. It doesn't happen by giving money. It doesn't happen by saying some prayers or being good enough to be a part of this group of believers. It comes one way, through Christ. John chapter 14 and verse 6, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Jesus Christ speaking those words. You've heard me illustrate it this way before, and I'll do it again. I think it's fitting. It's simple. That means I can understand it. If I come to your house this afternoon or tomorrow evening or something, those of you that are visitors, okay, you don't even know me, really. But if I come to your house and I knock on the door, you're going to open that door, and hopefully you might invite me in, and we could sit and visit, and everything's fine. Now, if I come to your house at 2:00 in the morning and I'm climbing through a window, you're not inviting me in. We're not going to sip sweet tea, and I'm probably going to get shot, okay? Now, why? Because you have determined the way into your house is through your front door, right? Well, that seems pretty intolerant of you, don't you think so? I mean, you should love all people, and you should allow all people into your home. Now, that's silly, isn't it? And yet, that's the very same thing that people say about God. Heaven is His home. And He's established the way in through this, into this home is this way. Now, why does He get to decide? Because it's His home. Just like you get to decide for your home the proper way in. Some homes you see on the front door or something, it says back door guest or best. I typically take that to mean the front door is piled with stuff and you can't get through it anyway, right? Please come to the back door. You get to decide because it's your home. My friend, God has decided The way into His home is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Does that make God unloving? No. Does that make Him intolerant? No. Here's why. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Does that make God intolerant? No. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I believe God is the most tolerant of any creature alive today. Because you know as well as I do, there are certain people you would not allow into your home, even if they came to the front door, right? But God says all are welcome if you come through my Son, Jesus Christ. You see, Christ died on the cross for our sins. Behind me on the wall, there's a cross. That's why churches have crosses in their buildings. That's what that's all about. Jesus died on a cross because the Bible says we're all sinners, folks. Every one of us has done something wrong, probably more than one something. And because of our sin, the Bible says the wages of our sin, the penalty of our sin is death, separation from God for all eternity in a place called hell. Would God ever send anyone to hell? You just told me God is love. Absolutely right. God is love. And He would not want to send anyone to hell. So He offers us a way to escape hell, forgiveness for our sins. And yet, sadly, some people choose to reject that. That is the only way. Through Christ, can we be saved? Can our sins be forgiven? Can we be right with God? They, in the Bible, they had expectations of what being in and around the temple would mean to them. And similarly, we have expectations. We should have expectations and hopes about what being in and around this building might mean to us. So here, and for us, we come together here in this place. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. It says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." My friends, when we come to this building, that should be one of our focuses, is to provoke others to love and to provoke others to good works. That all sounds kind of positive, doesn't it? So when we walk through that door with a sourpuss attitude, we're not provoking anyone to love and good works, are we? We're probably repelling them from us. Here, I'm going to guarantee you this. I'm going to guarantee you how you and everyone in here, as a member of Grace Baptist Church, can have a fulfilling worship experience when they come in this building. Okay? Next week, we have space up here for the drums. That's a start. I'm just kidding, okay? It's not done through music. Oh, we just need more lively music to get everyone in a good mood. No. It's not done through better HVAC controls. It's not done through more comfortable seating. It's not done through certain people coming up and shaking your hand. No. Because that's totally contrary to what God's Word says. You, Gerald McPhillips, when you walk in those doors, you are to go in there to provoke others to love and good works. Now, when I walk through those doors, I need to be focused on every one of you, everyone that I walk past and have time to actually stop and visit with. Sometimes mornings are hectic. But my focus is on others, not me. Now, you've heard me seen me illustrate this before, but imagine this. If I walk in and I sit down in my pew, okay? By the way, you all get to pick new pews today because it's all different now, okay? And I'm just going to sit down in my pew and just watch everyone coming in. Watch them all stroll in and they're all talking and smiling with each other. And then I begin to think, well, no one's talking to me. And then I start having my pity party. and realize no one shook my hand. Only one person shook my hand, or he didn't shake my hand, but he shook everyone else's hand. No one said hi to me. What I should be thinking at that point is shame on me, because I'm not doing this verse, provoking others to love and good works. Now, I told you I was going to give you a way to guarantee an enriching worship experience, if you want to call it that. You come in those doors and you do this verse and you will leave blessed. Everyone will. As we come together to provoke together each one to love and good works together. Folks, our ability to serve in this building, our ability and opportunity to do toward one another will be magnified as we join together and as we yield together to God's leading us as a body of believers. Christ is the head of this church, folks. And the Holy Spirit leads His church. We just have to follow. We will come here to this building as we've been coming for the last 30-some years now. How has this church come to this point to where they're at today? Starting in the basement of someone's home, Doc and Del Marie's house. And then renting, I believe, the extension building, and then buying the Eagles or the Elks Lodge and removing the bar that was in the Elks Lodge. And I don't know, there's probably a disco ball in there too, but making that into a church. And then when they moved here, the last row of pews, okay? Those of you that are sitting in pews, you can't really see it right now. But that's where the platform started a couple of months ago before we tore it down. So everything from there on, it's just amazing. And when Grace Baptist Church moved into that section behind the pews where the chairs are at right now, there were several that thought, oh, how are we ever going to fill this thing? There's one answer, one word, God. It's all about God. Let me share with you something from Solomon's Prayer in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 23. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like Thee, in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with Thy servants that walk before Thee with all their heart. Solomon pointed out that where they were, it is because of God. God had made promises to the nation of Israel. If you put Me first, if you follow Me, I'll bless. And notice, God keeps His promises, folks. I want you to listen to more of his prayer. Verse 33, he says, when thy people Israel be smitten down. Oh, that's not good. When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee, and confess thy name, and pray, and make supplication unto thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven, forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. When heaven is shut up, and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven, forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon thy land, which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. Folks, this is our part in God building the church. When we fall, which we will, when individuals stumble, which they will, We follow God's words. God said, if thou shalt, if thy confess thy sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and what? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Folks, sometimes churches get dirty, don't they? Because the church is just people. And if we as a collective body stay yielded to God's word, no, not every one of us is going to be yielded all at the same time. But if we remember what God has asked us to do when we fall, get back up. Repent, seek restoration, and He heals and blesses. And we see that in the life of Israel over and over again. If we are faithful, God will be faithful. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, it tells us that wherever two or three are gathered, Jesus is there already. So we gather here today, here in this room, for the first time, God is here. We don't need to ask Him to come. He's here. In fact, He's here ahead of us. He was here today before we were here to open these doors this morning. It is God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, who are out in front of us. Now, it is our task as sheep of God's flock to keep up and to follow. That's all. To be sure that we are following very closely and very carefully. If we do, here's what I believe based on God's word. He will continue to bless this ministry. Folks, I have no other explanation for why we're here today. I mean, if you look at our church, all of the cultural service or surveys, all of the blogs, all of the people who think they know what they're talking about would say we are doing church the wrong way. We should be shrinking and dying, not expanding. God is proving them wrong. We don't have to find the right way to do it because God's already told us the right way to do it. Just do it. And God will bless. What is this place that we call Grace Baptist Church? Here's a question. What should this place be? I believe it needs to be a place where people with questions can investigate the claims of Christ in a safe, non-threatening environment, a welcoming environment, and then eventually make a decision for Christ. It needs to be a place where we can go deep in our study of God and become more fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That needs to be encouraged at this place. It's a place where children will come to Christ early in life, where they'll be taught God's love, be taught God's word, so that they can then enter their teen years and young adulthood equipped to walk with God in a culture that is antagonistic toward God, equipped to live their faith instead of hide it. It's a place where teenagers are challenged to walk with God, to stay pure, and to become missionaries to their friends at school. A place where they can see, here's for us now, a place where they can see in adults around them an enthusiastic desire to be here. Where they can see in adults around them a sincere love for God and the church. They don't see that when all they hear from us, maybe, is what's wrong with the church. This should be a place where young adults are drawn into a biblical community of their peers, where they are motivated to reject the secular worldview that they've been taught in high school and in college, and instead embrace a biblical worldview for life, where they are equipped to impact their own generation for Jesus Christ. It's about a place where we help men, or help women become women. I almost said that wrong. Think about that. Whew! A place where we help women become women, where we help men become men of God. Think about that. Ladies, would you like to see some men of God in your lives? Men, would you like your daughters to be married to a real man of God who's going to love God and love her the way he loves God? Parents, would we like to see our sons marry a woman of God? Well, where is that man or woman of God going to come from for our children? Who's going to teach them and train them? We need to be praying that there's another church out there with the same burden and desire to train up our children's spouses to be men and women of God. Likewise, we need to do that here. It's about a place where married couples are taught the skills that they need to help them enrich their marriages and how to raise children. They don't come with the owner's manual, right? This is about a place where even our senior adults can find meaningful fellowship, where they can use their wisdom and their vast experience to serve the kingdom of God here at what we call church. It's a place where people who have experienced divorce, abortion, domestic abuse, substance abuse, where a whole range of human hurts can find hope, healing, love, compassion in the name of Jesus Christ. This new facility is a place where we can make an impact on the life of every person in this area for the glory of God. I'm so grateful for God leading us to where we're at here at this point in this ministry. I don't know exactly where He's going to lead us from here. And yet, I have a great confidence and peace because I know He's out ahead of us. He's already there. Truly, this is an exciting day for all of us, folks. Would you bow your heads, please? Heavenly Father, God, we thank You for Your blessing on this ministry. God, I thank You for Your salvation, the forgiveness of sins that You offered to me, that I accepted as a 19-year-old. I thank You for changing my life the way You have, as I know many others in here are thankful for that very thing. But God, I pray if there's someone here this morning who hasn't known that life-changing relationship with You, that today they might know that. They might know real forgiveness of sins. Place their faith in You for getting into Your home. Lord, as we consider this building that we're in now, God, we wish to bring You honor and glory through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall you stand with me, please? I'm going to ask the instruments to begin playing. I want to give you an invitation. You've been invited to come here today. Now let me invite you as well, based on what we have heard this morning. Let me invite you, my friend. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, as your friend, as your forgiver, would you accept that offer this morning? You say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. That's okay, because I've been there too. Today I'm sure. I want you to be sure. Would you, maybe just by uplifted hand, all you're doing is saying, Pastor, I'm not sure, would you pray for me, please? By uplifted hand, as I look around the room, thank you, I see that hand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anyone else with an uplift? Yes, I see those two hands. Thank you. Anyone else? Pastor, I'm